At the risk of someone thinking I might be in a preaching rut, it really is all about relationship. Life really is all about relationship. Contrary to the opinion of many Americans' consumers, it's not about collecting stuff. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. I'm grateful. I don't have many, and some days they bury me. Nor is life about meeting obligations or accomplishing goals or achieving fame. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? It's not even about being good enough. Because even for the best of us, by comparison to God, who is altogether holy, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. It's not even about being religious enough. Jesus said to some very religious people, "You study diligently the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life." Now listen, most of us would answer yes to that question. But listen to what Jesus said. Because the implication is, for all their study, all their disciplined and noteworthy religious activity, the implication of Jesus' words is they still hadn't found life. Because Jesus says to them next, "These are the Scriptures that testify about Me." That's a person. That's someone who can be known. That's someone who can be engaged relationally. "These are Scriptures that testify about Me, yet you refuse to come to Me and have life." Life is all about relationship. First and foremost, about relationship with Jesus Christ. "If anyone is thirsty," Jesus said, "let him come to Me and drink." He didn't say let him join a church and drink. He didn't say let him take an online course in religious studies and drink. He said let him come to Me and drink. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Do you see how personal that is? "He who has the Son has life." And the corollary is also true. "He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." Life is all about relationship. First and foremost, relationship with Jesus Christ. And let me be clear. If you are here today not in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and if you've not yet taken Him up on that offer of a life-giving relationship, you don't need to wait another moment. You don't need to wait till the close of the service. Right where you sit, you can invite Him in. Indeed, you should invite Him in to be your Savior and your Lord and your friend. That was a good amen opportunity, and some of you missed it. You should invite Him in to be your Savior, your Lord, and your friend. But things shouldn't stop there. You see, the first commandment, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with your mind," all your mind, is matched only by the second, Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Everybody turn to the person you're sitting next to and say, "That means you." While you have been invited into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you have not been invited into only a private relationship with Jesus Christ that never involves or includes another human being. Never, in that sense, is faith a private matter. You've not been invited into some exclusive club where only God and you are necessary. You've not invited into some private nirvana that allows you to live oblivious to or disconnected from anyone and everyone around you for the rest of your days. Now, believe me, there are days I wish it were so. I don't know who said it first, but some days I agree. I'd love my church if it weren't for all the people. And you're laughing. You think the same thing. I'd love my church if it weren't for that pastor. Especially my wife thinks that. Many of you have heard me quote one of my favorite delightful poems, "To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. To live below with those we know, now that's another story." But the deal is, there's nothing isolationist about God. When you are born again, and that's one of the scriptural descriptions for the launch of this life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. When you are born again, just like any other healthy birth, you are born into a family. You are born into a network of relationships where each member of the family is committed to all the others, and each member of the family is important and necessary for completing the whole family, where each member is necessary to all the others. And I suppose that I'm thinking about that this morning for a couple of reasons. First, I don't want to lose sight of what we talked about last Sunday. If there's any place relationships must be a priority, if there's any place where we must find a way and certainly ought to be able to find a way to make relationships work, it ought to be the body of Christ. To see your face ought to be for me to see the face of God. I don't want to be at odds with God. I don't want unfinished relational business with God, and I don't want unfinished relational business with you either. But even as I've challenged you to take care of relational business, to see that reconciliation with God is incomplete without reconciliation towards men, I also somehow feel compelled this morning to remind you that this is about more than just patching up relationships that may have been fractured at some point or settling differences that may have gone too long unresolved. This call of God to completeness in Him, to wholeness, to holiness, this challenge to love our neighbors as ourselves compels me not just to fix what is broken, but to work towards something that is whole, to create and embrace a network of supportive and encouraging and strengthening and mutually beneficial relationships that tie me into the body of Christ in a way that serves me well, serves others well, and serves the kingdom well. In other words, there's more than just fixing what's broken. There's the call of God to build a supportive infrastructure for kingdom growth and progress. How many of you are glad the Scripture says that a lot more simply than I just did? Here's the phrase that's captured my attention this week and prompted my thinking this morning. Four simple words from Ephesians chapter 4 that describe the desired effect of relationships within the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 16 says that as a result of our relationships, we ought to be joined and held together. It's a phrase that describes what will be our condition when we build the network of relationships God has called us to build as members of His body, joined and held together. It's a pretty challenging phrase given that many of us are falling apart. It's a challenging phrase given that we live in an era where what Jesus prophesied seems to be true because of the increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold. It's a challenging phrase given that we are called by Scripture to consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not animosity and broken relationships, love and good deeds. It's a challenging phrase, given that by this all men will know that you are my disciples, Jesus says, if you love one another. That's the litmus test right there for discipleship. My friend, now is not the time to isolate yourself. Now is the time to be joined and held together. The phrase comes at the end of a passage of Scripture where Paul describes what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. He's spent the first three chapters of Ephesians, really, pretty much trying to describe the indescribable. How richly we've been blessed in Christ. How we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. How He chose us. how He adopted us as sons, how He lavished on us His grace with all wisdom and understanding, how when we were dead in our transgressions and sins, because of His great love for us, God made us alive with Christ. It is by grace you have been saved. How He is our peace, and how we are now fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. How through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is made known, is revealed, is shown to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realm according to God's eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know how you keep all those blessings straight, and those are just the high points, but that is exactly the whole point. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everybody just say, every spiritual blessing. Even if you don't comprehend it, even if you couldn't memorize them, even if you can't keep it straight, every spiritual blessing. How do we respond to that? And that's where Ephesians chapter 4 begins. First, by describing some very relationship-friendly behaviors that every one of us ought to embrace. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, Paul writes, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received, something that reflects all these spiritual blessings we've received in Christ. Be completely humble and gentle. Sorry, I got convicted there for a moment. You think I'm joking. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort. Everybody say every effort. Every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit. This is not full of fractures. This is not divided. There's one body, one Spirit. Just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Look, maybe I ought to be, but I'm not necessarily as concerned with focusing on the how-to of relationships this morning. I'm more concerned with telling you what can be, what ought to be, what will be when we commit to God-honored relationships. But if you want some pretty good how-tos, there's a great starting point right there. Be completely humble and gentle. Everybody dare to say, I can do that. By the grace of God, I can do that. Be patient. By the grace of God, I can do that. Bearing with one another in love. Not just tolerating in animosity. Bearing with one another in love. Everybody say, by the grace of God, I can do that. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Everybody say, I can do that. You do those things. You stop writing people off. You look at your own self for a bit. See what God might want to change in you instead of what you think ought to be changed in others. We'll build the kind of relationships that I'm talking about this morning. So Paul outlines these relationship-friendly behaviors. And then Paul goes on to talk about the way God has structured His church. How He's passed out gifts to everyone. And gifted some, especially, for leadership in the church. So that the whole thing can be coordinated and developed under the headship of Christ. But to each one of us, Paul says, to each one of us, grace, charis, has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, and he quotes from Scripture here, when He ascended on high, He led captive in His train, He gave gifts to men. Paul gets sidetracked here for a minute. What does He ascended mean, except that He also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens. The same Jesus walked the earth is the same one who's been exalted in all righteousness and glory in order to fill the whole universe. It was He, Christ, everybody say it was Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Built up. Everybody say, that sounds all right. until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Don't you wish that person sitting next to you would grow up? Don't you know they wish you would grow up? Listen, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and grow up, who become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let me make one little teeny observation. Everybody love Jesus? Okay. Ultimately, I'm not the one who tells you that you need to be a part of a church. God tells you that. He's had the good sense to give you new birth, not only into a relationship with Jesus Christ, but into a whole family structure, complete with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, not so that He could watch your every step like a hawk and just wait for you to mess up, and not so that He could stick you in some oppressive, miserable, boring context where the last thing you'd want to do is live with joy for Him. But believe it or not, newsflash, God has birthed you into this family we call the church in order that He might bless you immeasurably and mature you increasingly and use you powerfully for an eternal and life-changing purpose. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's quite a target, isn't it? Musicians, come and I'll wrap it up. Listen. And let me tell you this about church structure and whatnot. I don't know about any other preacher out there, but I didn't, believe it or not, I didn't get into this because, you know, I like telling people what to do. I didn't get into this because I love public speaking or think I'm any good at it. I didn't get into this because I think I'm a great administrator. I didn't get into this because I couldn't figure out what else to do with my life. I do what I'm doing because I think God called me to do it, because 34 years ago, I think I calculated, I sat in a church pew at the close of a service. I think God called me to do this. I'm God's gift to you. Guess what? I'm non-returnable. And guess what? You're God's gift to me. That's right. You're God's gift to me. Until we all reach unity in the faith. God has structured this whole thing on purpose, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now here, listen to me. Here's what I want you to see about the power of God honoring, you know, hang in there through the tough times. Let's see what we can learn about ourselves and each other. Let's be completely humble and gentle and patient and bearing with one another in love kinds of relationships. Here's where those kinds of relationships lead. Listen to me. Here's where those kinds of relationships lead. I'm just convinced we look at a million other things and try to get there, when at the core, it's all about relationship. The million other things have their place. It's not that the million other things don't matter, but ultimately, it's about connection and relationship. Come unto me, Jesus said. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. If anyone is thirsty, he says in a loud voice, let him come to me and drink. It's all about relationships. And here's where the kind of God-honoring, faithful, Hang in there. Work it out. Let's see what we can figure out about ourselves. Let's see what we can figure about each other. Let's go ahead and be completely humble and gentle. Let's go ahead and be patient. Let's go ahead and bear with one another in love. Let's go ahead and try our very best to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here's where those kinds of relationships lead. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, faithful are the wounds of a friend, the Bible says. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is, Christ. And then from Him, the whole body, everybody say that includes me, joined and held together. I like the sound of that today. Joined and held together. Joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I used to read that passage and tell people I didn't necessarily know what Paul meant by every supporting ligament. I am now thoroughly convinced, I don't think you'll ever talk me out of it, that every supporting ligament, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, refers to God-honoring relationships among the people of God. From Him, the whole body, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows, joined and held together. Did I say that? Joined and held together, grows, and builds it. You will not grow in isolation. I don't know anybody who stays away from the people of God and somehow flourishes into a mature, dynamic believer. Boy, that's good preaching right there. And it wasn't even in my notes. I do know people who put up with ornery stinkers and then they themselves acknowledge they're ornery stinkers. But they keep loving each other and living for Christ, and God does something in all that. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I've got a place to play. You've got a role to play. Everybody love Jesus? I'm just wondering this morning, who will join me not only in fixing what's broken, taking care of unfinished business, acknowledging that reconciliation with God involves reconciliation with people. But I wonder who will join me this morning in building what ought to be. That network of supporting ligaments, that network of supportive relationships, that give and take, that connection that leaves us joined and held together. If you're up for that, don't worry. This is going to be simple. The hard work comes later, all right? But if you're up for that, if you're up for some real relationships, some God-honoring relationships, some gentle and humble and patient and bearing with one another in love and making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace kind of relationships, some to see your face is to see the face of God kind of relationships, would you stand to your feet? Pastor, you're tricking me now. It's all right. If you're not up for it, if you're not up for it, you're not up for it. The rest of us are going to love you so much, it'll be irresistible. Here's the deal. We even joked about it a little bit this morning. How do you close a message like this? We all get in a circle and sing, Kumbaya, my Lord. Well, if I could guarantee I'd put you next to an honorary stinker you've been feuding with, I'd love to do that. All right, you kids come in here and sit in the living room and hold hands until you can tell each other you love each other. Doesn't work. Spoken by a mother of boys. What I would like to do as a congregation, it's spoken by the mother of girls. What I would like to do as a congregation is affirm the authority of Jesus Christ to do with us as He wishes. To declare again that He's the head, He's the King. That the reconciliation we enjoy with Him is bought through His horrific death on the cross on our behalf. And that we need to walk worthy of the calling we've received. Humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance. Finding that place where God has gifted us and put us. Connected together, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Growing up into Him who is the head as each part does its work. Okay, Jesus, then You get to be King. And I'm committed to Your call for my life and the place You've given me in Your body. Let's sing together. Hallelujah. I'm forgiven because You were forsaken. Convinced with all my heart, Lord, that You want us joined and held together by every supporting ligament, growing up into the One who is the head, even Christ, as each part does its work. And so, corporately, we declare You as King. When You give us new birth into this living hope, it no longer gets to be about our agenda, our rights, our privileges. But You've birthed us into the wonderful and frustrating and challenging and delightful and exasperating give and take of family living, of what it means to be members together of the body of Christ. God, challenge us and teach us not only to fix what is broken, but to build what ought to be. Bind us together in love. By this may all men know we are Your disciples, that we have love one for another. Love that stretches beyond inconvenience and challenges and misunderstandings. Love that believes the best. Love that looks for opportunities to serve. Love that looks for opportunities to see Your kingdom advance in us and through us. Tie us together, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. I pray it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. And all God's people who dared to say it said, Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Love you in Christ Jesus.